Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdar.
And hello, and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Let me remind you of where we stopped in our last broadcast as we were investigating the true account of the first meeting between Joseph and his brothers, which took place in Genesis chapter 42. We know that Joseph recognized his brothers, and they did not recognize him. And he spoke to them in a harsh way, claiming that they were spies on the land. They said, "No, we are 10 brothers." He said, "No, I know for sure you are spies." They said, "No, we are 12 brothers, one with his father and one is no more." When we compare that true biblical account here to that which is written in Quran chapter 12, you see the huge difference. For in the Quran, out of the blue sky, somehow Joseph made up this strange request. That is, when Joseph said to his brothers, "Bring me a brother of yours from your father." Obviously, he meant not from their mothers, which obviously shows us that the writer of the story of Joseph in the Quran are familiar with the Bible, but you cannot prove that from the reading of the Quran. In any way, move back to Genesis 42. After Joseph's brothers told him that they have a little brother who is with their father, Joseph took the advantage of this information to ask his brothers to bring the one brother whom they are talking about to prove to him that they are not spies. In verse 16, Joseph made the suggestion that they will send one of them to bring their little brother and the rest will be kept in prison in a way to see if they have said any truth about their claiming not to be spies but the sons of one father. And he gave the oath by saying, "Or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies." Now let's continue to move on with our study to see what happened to Joseph's brother as we continue from verse 17 of Genesis chapter 42. For there we read, "So he put them all together in prison 3 days. Then Joseph said to them the third day, 'Do this and live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers be confined to your present house, but you go and carry grain for the famine of your houses and bring your youngest brother to me. So your words will be verified and you shall not die.'" And they did so. Notice in the Quran, Joseph did not keep any of them, but he actually sent all of them back to the land of Canaan. Once again, that is because he obviously never accused his brothers of being spies. That portion of the story, which is very important, from which he was able to investigate to see if his brother is still alive or not, and if his father is still alive or not. After Joseph gave the order to his brothers to send them all back to the land of Canaan and keeping one, there is a very important conversation which is taking place between the brothers. Muhammad did not mention anything about it in the Quran. And that is what we read in Genesis chapter 42, beginning from verse 21. As we read, "Then they said to one another, 'We are truly guilty concerning our brother.'" What brother are they talking about? They're talking about their own brother Joseph, as the Lord is taking them back years and years ago. Continuing with the biblical account, "For we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us and we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us." The brothers of Joseph are confessing to one another and they're confessing to God that this is a payback for their sin, which they have sinned against their own brother. That is, when Joseph were begging them not to sell him as a slave to the Ishmaelites, but they hearkened not their heart to him. And they did what they were wishing to do because they hated him so much. Notice what we read in the following verse. And Reuben answered them, saying, did I not speak to you, saying, do not sin against the boy? And you would not listen? Therefore, behold, his blood is now required of us. Another confession from Reuben, who tried hard, as we read earlier, to save Joseph. First, by convincing his brothers not to kill him, but simply to cast him into the well, because he was planning to take him out of the well and to return him to his father. In verse 23, we read, but they did not know that Joseph understood them. Why? For he spoke to them through an interpreter. The entire conversation, which we read in the English language in Genesis 42 and the rest of the account, it was not in the Hebrew language, it was not in the Arabic language as Muslims claim, but it was simply Joseph was speaking in the Coptic language and the interpreter translated to him to the Hebrew, and as his brother spoke in the Hebrew language, the interpreter translated to him to the Egyptian language. Something all Muslim scholars do not know, simply because they're ignorant of the fact of how the Bible is written, which is the true biblical word of God, not the Quran, which, as we have seen, is filled with many errors and contradictions. In verse 24, we read, and he, that is Joseph, turned himself away from them and wept. Then he returned to them again and talked with them. And he took Simon from them and bound him before their eyes. In verse 25, then Joseph gave a command to fill their sacks with grain, to restore every man's money, the Hebrew word is silver, to his sack, and to give them provisions for the journey. Thus he did for them. So they loaded their donkeys with the grain and departed from there. Well, let's move on back to Quran chapter 12 to see what happened between Joseph's brothers, that is all 10 of them, and their fathers Jacob, as we read in verse 63. So when they returned to their father, they said, oh, our father, we have been denied our measure. Excuse me. How can Allah say that they said to Jacob, they have been denied the measure, when we know just in the previous verse that they got their measure with their merchandise? Something is wrong here. Perhaps Muhammad should have written it in the right tense, meaning we will not have any more measure in the future. But that's not what Muhammad put in verse 63. Continuing with the verse, we have been denied our measure, so send our brother with us, and we will have our measure, and surely we will be keepers to him. It's like they made a trip to Egypt. They did not get any grain. They went back to the land of Canaan, telling their father, we have a problem. We did not get any grain, but if we take our brother with us, then we will have grain, because that is the new sad news for Jacob and the rest of their family. But that's not what we read in the previous verse in the Quran, nor the story according to the biblical account. In verse 64, he said, will I entrust you with him except as I entrusted you before with his brother? So Allah is the best keeper, and he is the most merciful of the merciful. I do not see that to be any closer to the true biblical account in the book of Genesis. We do not see that Jacob easily gave up his son to go back with them to Egypt, or Jacob has this ridiculous conversation with his sons so they can bring some grain. That's not what the Bible teaches. In verse 65, and when they opened their bags, they found their merchandise had been returned to them. Oh, here we go. So the story of the Quran is closer to the biblical account, except in the Quran, the brothers found their merchandise, which is the word bida'ah, and it is written in the possessive form, which is bida'atim. In English, their merchandise. But in the Bible, actually, the word fudda, or the word silver. I know that we translate it to English as money, but it was actually silver, as written in Genesis chapter 42 and verse 25. So that is the first error.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Now, the second error we see, which is what is written in the next portion of that verse, which obviously was added by those who made up the Quran. As we read, they said, O our father, we did not desire that our merchandise would be returned to us. We would bring food to our families, and we will keep our brother and will increase a ba'ir major. The word ba'ir here actually is the word camel. It is a non-Arabic word of Syriac origin. Can you imagine with me, when we talk about camel, people always think of Egypt and the Arab world. And even when Muhammad used the name of camel in the Quran, he did not use an Arabic word, but he used a Syriac origin word, the word ba'ir. Instead of use the word jamal, which is the Arabic word for camel. This is unbelievable. Even when we talk about camels, Muhammad did not know, or maybe the person who wrote the Quran for Muhammad did not know that we have an Arabic word for camel, which is jamal, but they use the Syriac word, which is ba'ir. Add to that something very important. What is the extra major of a camel the brothers will have by returning to Egypt if they take their little brother with them? You know what that is? That is actually the person who is rewriting the story of the Bible in the Quran knows that this is something is going to happen. In the continuation of rewriting the stories of the Bible in the Quran, as Muhammad would be adding more information a little bit later. As we will investigate the Quran teaching, as we will see, when they will be stopped from leaving Egypt on their second trip, that is after Joseph will be putting his measuring cup into the stack of Benjamin to make him like a thief. According to the Quran, the Egyptian people actually offered an extra measure of a camel's load of grain to the person who will return the cup to Joseph. It's a made-up story, but somehow Muhammad here in the early verses of the Quran is introducing the idea of a gift from the Egyptian if the Egyptian can gain the cup of Joseph back from who stole it. as we'll see that story later in our study.
In verse 66, we read, he said,
that is Jacob in the Quran,
I will not send him with you until you bring to me a firm oath from Allah that you will return him back to me unless you are constrained. What a weird, weird sentence in the Quran. How can the sons of Jacob bring a strong oath from Allah? Are they going to meet with Allah and write a contract with Allah and they bring some witness to their father Jacob that they really came up with that strong oath? It's like,
what in the world is Muhammad talking about?
It does not make any sense. The story is fabricated so bad to the point that it has now become a laughable story. Is that what we read in the Genesis account? Of course not. This is only made up material in the Quran. So when they brought him their pledge, he said, Allah is the guardian over what you say. So he said, oh my sons, do not enter by one door and enter by different doors. And yet I cannot profit you against anything decreed by Allah, for the judgment to Allah alone. On him I depend and on him. So let the depender depend. What another nonsensical verse in the story of Muhammad in the Quran. How many doors do we have in Egypt as you come into our country? No doors. How many doors did they go through on their first trip? No doors.
Why is Jacob telling his sons to enter to Egypt through different doors?
Oh, because he believed in the eye, the round eye, the envy eye. So if they come to Egypt from one door and somebody will see this beautiful 11 guys going together, then somebody is going to envy them
with the evil eye
and maybe one or two of them get sick or die. That fits. Was Arab culture, not Jewish belief. Jacob would have never said that. And more important, once again, there is no doors in Egypt. And they could not come to Egypt in different doors because it is an open border without any walls or doors. Now in verse 68, we read, and when they entered as their father had commanded them, it was not averted from them anything against Allah, but it only served to satisfy a need in the soul of Jacob. And surely he was possessed of knowledge we had taught him, but most people do not know. So here we go. Not only Jacob did not know about Egypt and the borders of Egypt and the doors around Egypt, but now we know from the Quran
that his sons obeyed him as he entered Egypt from different doors, which is a great evidence that the sons of Jacob, according to the story of the Quran, never been to Egypt. Maybe they went to some other country, China or somewhere else, but not Egypt. And why they did that? It's not because Jacob told them to do so, but it is because Allah gave Jacob the knowledge and Jacob was living according to the command of Allah.
And Allah is the knower of all things. That is internal evidence that the writer of the Quran story about Joseph, not only he's ignorant of the Bible, but he's also ignorant of the true nature of the country of Egypt.
Let us continue to read the rest of the story of Muhammad in the Quran, for in verse 69 we read, and when they entered unto Joseph, he took his brother to him. He said, surely I am your brother, so do not grieve for what they were doing. Did you just hear what I just said? On the spot, when they came to Joseph, he took his brother and he told him, hey, I'm your brother. Don't grieve about what they were doing. Who with logic or common sense can read that and believe that the Quran is the word of God? And boy, oh boy, if you just can read the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Ibn Kathir of how this ever happened, you will see that Joseph brought all his brothers to his house. And he have in his house 6 bedrooms. And each bedroom have a bed. And 2 of each of his brothers slept together in 1 bedroom. So now Benjamin was by himself in 1 bedroom. And Joseph slept with him in the same bed. And that's when Joseph was hugging him all night, smelling him and hugging him and smelling him. And that's when he told them, Benjamin, I am your brother Joseph. What a great fabrication. Not only the Quran is a ridiculous counterfeit to the biblical account, but the interpretation of the Quran is even more ridiculous than any person with logic or common sense to accept or to believe in. Let's go on to verse 70, for there we read, so when he had provided them with their supplies, and I do not know what supplies he need out of Egypt, except just the grain, he, that is Joseph, placed his drinking vessel in his brother's pack. Then a caller called, oh, travelers, surely you are thieves, and we must stop here. If Joseph already told his brother Benjamin that he is his brother, why in the world would Joseph put his cup into his bag? Why they would run after them when they left Egypt after they got their supplies, their grain, and bring them back to Joseph's place after accusing them of being thieves? Does this make any sense to anyone who knows the scripture? Of course, the answer is no. In verse 71, we read, they said, and they turned back to them, what did you miss? 72, they said, these are the Egyptians. We missed the king's sawa, which is the drinking cup. Non-Arabic word of Ethiopian origin. Same word as from the story of Joseph in the Ethiopian Bible. So, in simple words, he said, we're missing the drinking cup, and to him who will restore it, a camel's load, and I guarantee it. Wow! The Egyptian would like to reward the thief for stealing the cup of Joseph if he returns it. Now, do you think Benjamin will return that cup back to Joseph so he can get his camel load of grain? Or there is some deception which is practiced by Allah and Joseph for another reason? And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.